Welcome to this Sunday 15 edition of the His Show podcast. Wherever you are today, whatever kind of ball you're playing, this is just a chance to tune in and get into God's Word on this Sunday. And I'm Lincoln Lawing, sitting beside my main man, Austin Robinson. And today, we're going to be talking about seasons. So Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." And I think one of the crazy things about life is there's always seasons that you're in, seasons that you're going into, seasons that you're coming out of, seasons that you don't understand. But one of the reasons that sports make sense is because they have a distinct starting and stopping point to the season. Like, you know when you're going to get cranked up, you know when it's going to stop, and that's known as a season. So it doesn't matter how difficult or successful the season is, there's a sense of urgency because you know it's going to end. And you want to soak up all you can during those great seasons when it's going great, and you can't wait for it to be over when it's going bad. I think we've all had seasons where we hope, man, I hope this season of sports or this season of ball that I'm playing never ends. We've also had seasons that we've played, and from the very beginning, we're like, man, I just want this to be over. Sometimes that's more the case when you're coaching than when you're playing, because when you're coaching, sometimes it's out of your control. But I'm learning that it may be possible to learn more in a tough season than it would be in a good one. And because the question is God still good in the losing seasons, in ball or in life, or is he only good during the winning seasons? So you think about that. It's easy to say, man, God is good. God's blessed us. Had a great year, no injuries, or life's going good. But what we fail to realize is when we're not winning the title or we do have injuries or things aren't going good, God is still God and God is still good. So I just think about some seasons like that. Austin, good or bad, coaching, playing, life, any seasons that come to mind when we think about this?
Yeah, I've got two, one for each. And the first one, I'll start with the good. Obviously, my senior year of high school baseball was one I didn't want to end. We were a very good team, won the state championship. But I think the one that stands out other than that one is, you know, when we were coaching at Holbrook middle school baseball, it was just a lot of fun coaching that age. It was my first experience coaching. And, you know, we had a great group of kids there for about 3 or 4 years, kids that were just normal kids like we were when we were growing up, and just loved to play baseball, loved to be out there, hardworking kids, and just having the opportunity to go out there and get the best out of them each and every day, laugh with them, have fun with them, cut up with them, but also get down to business when we got out there on the field. But that was a lot of fun. That was a fun 3 years coaching alongside you and being able to compete against the teams in our area. So, yeah, that was probably one that stood out, that three-year span there at Holbrook. And then the other one, the one that, you know, I was kind of ready for to be over was probably my junior year of college. That was probably the point in my life where I was the farthest away from Christ in my relationship with him. I had drifted away, and I was kind of searching. I didn't know what I wanted to do after I graduated. I ended up changing my major during that year. It set me back another year, so I took a victory lap my fifth year in college and just didn't know what I wanted to do in life and was searching. So that was a tough year, but I got through it. I, you know, made some changes in my life, some relationships, some friends, and you know, just made changes that were for the better, and it allowed me to have clarity on what I wanted to do moving forward. And that's led me to this point now.
Well, that's a great point because, as you mentioned, sometimes you can't learn the necessary lessons unless you're in a losing season or unless you're in a tough time. And I've been a firm believer for a long time that there are lessons that you have to learn in the valley that you can't learn on the mountaintop. I mean, I look back and think about, for me, one of the best just seasons of life for me was my sophomore year of high school playing ball. I was finally, the physical maturity finally caught up with the fundamentals that I was learning. I was hitting the ball good. I was having a good year and just flying high. I had a great summer, and it was just a good season. After that, I remember being in a season shortly after where I got hurt. My baseball career ended, And just like you talked about, there was just this continued period of just disillusionment, just confusion, trying to figure things out. But if it wasn't for those tough times and that tough period of time, I wouldn't have been able to learn that.
Yeah, the verse that comes to mind when you talk about that is James 1:3. It says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." And like you said, those things that we go through in life, good or bad, that they grow us and prepare us for the next. Because life, you know, constantly we're going to have to go through those things in all stages of life. And but that's just a good reminder of, you know, how that when our faith is tested, it produces endurance.
Now, a good word. I was just reminded of something else as well. And as I was looking in Job 2:10, as we know, Job, if you've never read the book of Job in the Old Testament, give it a whirl. You have a guy that pretty much had everything and went through what we would say is a tough time would be a massive understatement as to what Job went through. He was had everything taken from him, and you know, he's trying to learn what's going on here, what's going on with God. And there's a verse in Job chapter 2, verse 10, and Job says, "Should we accept only good from God and not adversity?" Because we know that during those times of adversity, when our faith is tested, produces hope and endurance and proven character. And sometimes those things can't be given without going through those tough times. So we've talked about sports and there being seasons, but a lot of times in life, there are seasons, but we don't know when those seasons are going to start, and we rarely know when they're going to end. Like some of these we do know, such as when you're parenting or moving or travel or going to a new spot, you might know this is going to be a new season. But what about the seasons we don't see? We don't anticipate them, and we don't know when they'll end. You know, sometimes it could be sickness, unemployment, tragedy and loss, times of rebellion, addiction, depression, seasons of failure where you feel like you can't get anything right, things that are out of your control, seasons of brokenness. Also, sometimes there's times of just unexpected success. So I've learned, though, that all of life is a season in one way or another. And it's very important to embrace each season because God has sovereignly allowed it in our lives. That's whether it's Job, whether it's us, whether it's other things in Scripture. God has to allow these things to happen in our lives. And here's a point that I want you to think about. I have found that God usually doesn't change a circumstance in my life until my fulfillment and peace no longer depend on the circumstance being changed, because he loves us too much to allow us to put our hope in the fickleness of the ever-changing circumstances and seasons. What I mean is, let's say you want a certain job or you're going through something and you're praying, "I want this, I want this, I want." There's nothing wrong with wanting it. There's nothing wrong with praying for it. There's nothing wrong with doing the work and putting it in to do that. But what God wants us to do is realize that faith and hope are not just words that we say. The object of our faith and our hope needs to be God. And he wants us to realize that we are his children, he loves us, and what he has for us is better than what we have for ourselves. So regardless of the season that we're in, we can lean in on him, we can trust him, and understand that the way he wants to do it is the way we need to do it. Because if we're only going to depend on God when we get certain situations, then once we get that thing, then we're going to want something else. It's just like, hey, when we get that, we're like, "Man, I'm happy because God gave me what I wanted." So then we move the ball and we want something else, or it's a new job or new relationship or whatever. It's always this ever-going thing. And if we really let God work, he puts us in a place where he's like, "Hey, I want you to depend on me for your fulfillment, depend on me for your peace, depend on me for your comfort, not this circumstance." Then it becomes a place of faith and peace as opposed to do that, because he does this so he'll anchor our hope in him and the finished work of Jesus on the cross, not what he gives us, which I'm a firm believer. Romans 1 talks about this, about worshiping the creator, not the created. Any success we get in life, any abundance or success we get of something created, should always not be the focus. It should point us back to the creator that gave us that. The creator that created it, that gave us that, is what we should look at. Like when Peter and the disciples had a massive catch of fish, and then right after that, Jesus said, "Follow me." So they left their nets and followed him. I always thought that was odd, because if fishermen was their trade, right after they would have got the massive fish catch, I would have been like, hey, let's go sell it for profit, invest back in the business, you know. But no, right after that, Jesus said, follow me. And they did, because what they realized in that moment was, wow, this is the creator, the producer, the sustainer of life. With him by our side, that's who we rely on, not these fish. Does that make any sense, Austin? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And when you were talking about that, it reminded me of, you know, one thing that I'm going through right now, and, you know, not many people know, you know, but, you know, those unexpected things that come up in life. You know, back in March of 2020, me and my wife, we got pregnant, had a miscarriage. That was during COVID. And, you know, it just threw a curveball at us in our life at that time. It was a huge struggle. A lot of downtime, a lot of anger, a lot of crying. But, you know, and, you know, since then we've discovered what the issue was. We're working through that. And, but, you know, during those times in your life, you know, it's different when you deal with it on your own, but when you have someone else you're married to and you're having to deal with those struggles together, it makes it tougher, because you're having to not only grieve for yourself, for your wife, but also figure out as a married man, how the heck do I, you know, handle this situation? And in those times, you really understand and realize that the only thing that you have to fall back on is your faith and your relationship with Christ. And he's the only one that can bring the peace, the comfort, the answers that you need, that you're searching for in those situations. And that's why it's so important to understand that who Christ is, what he's done for us, and what he says in his word about how to handle those situations.
Now, I appreciate you sharing that, because being in those tough seasons like that, that's all you do have to rely on, because things don't make sense. They don't understand, and relying on who Christ is what gets us through that, and realizing that he's the author and sustainer of our faith, and that he sovereignly allowed us to go through it, and he walks through us with it. So as we close out, I'm going to expand a little bit upon our first verse, which was Ecclesiastes 3:1, and just talk a little bit about the different seasons that Solomon writes about. He says, as we talked about, a time for every activity under heaven, but in Ecclesiastes 3:2, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing, a time to search and a time to count as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So whatever season you're going through, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, it's been the same since the beginning of time. Good seasons, bad seasons, just remember throughout, there's a time and a season for everything, but God is constant. He's a sustainer in all seasons, and he wants us to rely on him for our hope and confidence, not the season, not the circumstance, and we need to be worshiping the creator, not the created. So go get them today. Austin, I appreciate it. This is Lincoln Lawing beside Austin Robinson, and this was this Sunday's edition of the Sunday 15 of the His Show podcast. See you next time.